Hello students, welcome to module 1 of the poem Garden Snakes by Muriel Elson. As you open the presentation is before you, so as you open it, you will see the very first introductory slide. And the very first introductory slide, as you can see, that there is this huge colored snake, okay, in the backdrop. So there is this picture of this gray a huge snake in the backdrop, someone's living room it is. And so I just thought that yes, that this will be the picture, this will be this will give you some idea of what a snake is. Of course a snake is not a new thing for all of us, so everybody has seen a snake in one's lifetime. Okay, so this snake is there for you, and in a way it welcomes all of us, isn't it? And so the poem's name is Garden Snake. Now when we are going to read about snakes, so let me just make one thing clear, that we will not focus on any other snake, on any other category of snake, but we will be dealing only with garden snakes, the little garden snakes, which are very common in our garden and which are very frequently seen as they wiggle around or as they squirm around everywhere. Now, moving on to slide number 2. As you can see, I have used cartoons. Okay, I have used cartoons as pictures to reflect the action of the little boy who saw a snake in his garden and ran away, extremely terrified and of course taken aback. So here the line goes, I saw a snake, as you can see, I saw a snake and ran away. So the narrator, who is possibly a little boy, or we can just assume that yes, he is a little boy who is who has described his experience in the form of this poem. So this boy, he saw a snake and ran away, extremely terrified. The general human tendency is, what is this? Is this, isn't it? So this boy, he saw a snake and ran away without thinking twice. You can see the picture in the slide. The boy's expression is quite funny. The snake's expression is equally hilarious. So I chose this particular these particular cartoons in order to add humor to the poem, and I think this is enough to make the picture clear what I am going to deal with in the next few slides. Now, the expression of the boy who might have shouted at the top of his voice as he ran away is clearly evident, isn't it? He's shouting at the top of his voice, his mouth is wide open, and when he saw the snake, he was out of control, and the little boy, he might have entered his house without thinking twice, without looking back, and he might have just forced himself into the interiors. Now, the third slide, as it goes, some snakes are dangerous, they say. Okay, so some snakes are dangerous, they say. Now, who are they? They are people, okay? The people, the common people, your friends, your parents, your elders, your juniors, anybody around you. Okay, so they say some snakes are dangerous. Of course, it is true. Yes, some snakes are definitely dangerous. But the question is, which snakes? Okay, are garden snakes dangerous? Are all snakes dangerous? No, some snakes. That is why the word some has been used. So some snakes are dangerous. Now, the general tendency, okay, that general picture of a snake in our mind is, yes, we see a snake, okay, without thinking twice, even if we are not attempting to hit it, we will run away, okay. We don't look around front, we don't look around backwards, left, right, without thinking twice, we start running. Okay, with all our, what is called, with all full force, we just move back. Now, the snake here can be seen hanging from the branch of a tree, and its expression is priceless. Okay, I'm using the word priceless because its expression is, it's like bewildered. Okay, the boy is terrified, of course. Okay, the boy, he's completely out of control. He cannot control his emotions. He jumps, he shouts, and he runs away. And the snake, hearing his voice, maybe the snake's bewildered. Okay, that expression of surprise, that expression of terror. Okay, the little garden snake is equally terrified. So that expression of bewilderment, that surprise is priceless, is very important. So some snakes are dangerous, they say. Now this line has been taken for granted by the boy. Okay, people know that yes, not all snakes are dangerous. So this little child, he is not aware of the fact that yes, it is a garden snake. It is not dangerous. Okay, we should not be afraid of it. Okay, that idea has to be, inculcated in his mind. That idea has to be put inside in his mind, okay, by somebody. And that person, okay, there has to be somebody who has to show him the right way. There has to be somebody who has to make this thing clear that yes, not all snakes are to be hit, not all snakes are to be, we should not feel afraid of all snakes. So both their expression, okay, I just now said that snakes suggest that snakes are always a terrific sight for everyone, be it a child or an adult. We should not blame the child, of course, okay, we should not blame him in this case, because if there was an adult in this case, it would have been the same thing. It would have been the same picture. Okay, an adult is equally terrified of a snake. Okay, we don't whatsoever, or it can be a small snake, it can be a huge snake. Huge snakes are, means we should not, we don't even imagine of encountering a huge snake any day. Okay, and small snakes are equally hated by us. Okay, we don't welcome any kind of snake. Okay, we human beings, it's a general tendency, be it a child or be it an adult, all people, okay, children, adults, we all hate snakes. Okay, I'll use the word hate because we definitely hate a snake. We don't welcome it. Now, the fourth slide. As we approach the fourth slide, the lines are, but mother says that kind is good and eats up insect for his food. So the person comes, okay. So this is the person who will bring a change in the child's attitude, who will try to make the child understand that yes, what you are thinking, your idea that all snakes are dangerous, you should hit a snake or you should run away at the mere sight of it, is not correct. So the role of the mother comes up. Yeah, but mother says that kind, the child is saying at the same time, but mother says that kind is good. Okay, kind, what do you mean by kind? So kind is some category, okay, species, that is this term used in science is species. Okay, there are categories of snakes which are not harmful, which are not dangerous. They are not going to, those snakes are not going to harm us in any way. Okay. Those snakes, they simply leave the way for us, okay, and they don't take any chance. Okay, the human beings never imagine that yes, we will never encounter snakes, we don't welcome snakes. At the same time, such snakes, okay, those which are harmless, they also avoid human interference and they also run away at the sight of humans. So this is a sort of a mutual thing. So this fourth slide is a kind of a welcome change for all of us, for us as readers. Now, there is this positive intervention, I will say, there is this positive intervention of the child's mother, who advises the child and tries to bring a change in his attitude. Now, I am using these two words, positive intervention. Positive, of course, is clear. Positive means good, something which is not negative, something which is beneficial, something which plays something which gifts you something which provides you anything. So positive, okay, all kinds of good things. Intervention is in a way interference. So there is this interference of this mother who makes the child understand that there are some snakes which are good, okay, which are good for us. Why? Because those snakes eat up insect for their food. Okay, so some snakes are there. For example, the garden snake in front of us. A garden snake, okay, generally a garden snake which is found, means it can be found anywhere in the garden, and it generally camouflages itself, I will say, it generally hides itself. It is not visible to the naked eyes, because if there is good grass, there is green grass in your garden, so it is almost invisible to the naked eyes. And suddenly it pops out of nowhere and it takes its way forward, okay, without disturbing, without coming your way. It just makes its way forward. So there are certain snakes, according to the mother, which eat up insect for their food. Now, eating up insects is good for human beings. Why? Because our garden is protected. Okay, our little plants, our flowers in our garden, these are generally destroyed by insects which are like the garden snake, not visible to the naked eye. Okay, and these insects, they generally do their work during evening or at night. Okay, so at night nobody is everybody is asleep. Okay, so we are not going to go to our garden and check, yes, these plants are doing good. No, we are not doing anything of that sort. We don't do anything of that sort. Okay, so these insects do their work during that time. So this garden snake protects us. Okay, protects our garden. Now, they also eat frogs sometime, isn't it? As you can see in the picture, these garden snakes also eat frogs sometime. And so this cycle continues. Okay, the frogs eat insects, definitely. The garden snakes eat insects. And sometimes these frogs also destroy our plants and all. So in a way, this garden snake is our savior. Okay, it saves us. And our garden definitely is protected in a beautiful way. Now, this learning for the child is definitely a kind of education everybody would like to receive, isn't it? So the child gets enlightened in a way. Okay, I will use the word enlightened. That means the child becomes wise. Okay, he learns that, yes, what he learns? He learns that snakes, all snakes are not dangerous. Okay, garden snakes are indeed welcome. Okay, these snakes are not going to harm you in any way. These snakes are not going to interfere. These snakes are not going to create havoc. So these are welcome. Now, moving on to the fifth slide. The fifth slide presents the set of rhyming words used in the first four lines of the poem, which have been dealt with in the first module, as you can notice. Now, what are the rhyming words? Away say, good food. So two sets are there, very a few rhyming words, but away say, good food. Now, I have chosen a single slide to show the rhyming words used in the poem, used in the first module of the poem. Now, what is the role of these? What role do these rhyming words play? Now, these rhyming words, they provide a musical effect to the poem. Okay, when children or anybody reads a poem, these rhyming words help to provide a rhythm, and of course, the rhyme is being provided. These words provide a rhythm to the poem. We love reading a poem when rhyming words are there. Now, away say good food. So two sets of rhyming words are there. So poets generally use, okay, poets generally use rhyming words poetic license in a sort of way. Poetic license means they have this kind of freedom to use words, to modify words, and use them according to their own choice. Okay, the poets have their own freedom. We cannot say that, yes, you cannot use rhyming words, or you cannot, why have you written this word in such a way? No. Okay, poets, all poets, okay, they have this freedom to write their poetry in their own beautiful way. Okay, so this is called poetic license. And rhyming words, of course, is a part of the poetic license. We don't use rhyming words, of course, in a prose. Okay, do we use? No, we don't use. Okay, we generally see it in a poem. Okay, finally, we have the sixth slide before us. And as you can see, the sixth slide presents the poetic device of personification. Now, this is the final slide where we see that the poet has used the poetic device of personification. Now, I'll deal with the first two words. Poetic device. What do you mean by poetic device? Now, poetic related to a poet. Okay. The poet, something used by the poet. Device, okay. Device means. Okay. Now, this poet has used personification as a poetic device in his poem. Now, how is this personification? How has these been used? Now, you can see in the slide that the pronoun his has been used. Okay, his has been used. First four lines. Now, this pronoun his points towards the snake. Okay, now this is where the things take a turn. Okay, the question is that how come a snake or how the poet, okay, how come the poet has used the pronoun his for a snake? Okay, now his is a pronoun used for, as it is written in the slide, it is used for a human being, in this case a male. Okay, his, her is used for a female, the same way his is used for a male. Okay, all of you know it. But here it has been used for a snake. So, the garden snake has been personified here with the attribution of pronoun generally used for a human being. This is what is written in the slide. So, a garden snake has been personified here. Okay. It has been attributed the qualities of a human being. Okay. It has been attributed the qualities of a human being. It is being treated as a human being. By whom? By the mother. Okay. The mother intends to make the snake more familiar to the child, just like a human friend. Okay, the mother uses the pronoun his because the mother wants the child should know that yes, the snake, a garden snake, is also a part of nature, and the garden snake is to be loved by us. It is not to be hit, it is not to be hated by us. Okay, it is a part of nature and we should accept it. Okay, it is not at all dangerous. So the mother intends to make the snake more familiar to the child, just like a human friend. Just like a friend helps us, in the same way a garden snake helps us. Okay, it protects our garden. Now, this use of pronoun generally used for a male is appropriate and of course important. The idea of a human friend is what might have been the poet's idea also. The mother wanted her child to consider the garden snake as his friend. Just now I said that. So, the poet expresses this idea, brings out this idea, okay, through the mother or through the expression of the mother, through the advice of the mother. What he wants to say is being expressed through the mother. Okay, so this was all for module 1.